This is tape number 6, The Incredible Human Potential by Herbert W. Armstrong.
Now continue. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 12. Christ is that nobleman. He is speaking of his ascension to the throne of God, his Father in heaven. Notice, he went there to be given rulership of the kingdom, to receive the kingdom. Notice, too, he is to return when he has received it. He has not yet returned. Other scriptures explain this. We will turn to them a little later. Continuing the parable, spoken because some thought the kingdom of God was immediately then in the first century to appear, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Verse 15. When Christ returns, we shall all be called before the judgment seat of Christ to give account. Now notice in verse 17, the one who had gained 10 pounds is given authority to rule cities. Have you authority over 10 cities? To the one who had gained 5 pounds, he said, be you also over 5 cities. This is speaking of the second coming of Christ and of his delegating authority to rule to saints converted during this Christian era between Christ's first and second appearings on earth. This parable, then, was spoken to make clear to us that the kingdom of God is a literal government to be set up at Christ's second coming and not before. The church, then, cannot be the kingdom of God, but the true church of God is to be changed by a resurrection and instantaneous change from mortal to immortal into the kingdom of God. The church, when all its members have been changed to immortality, shall become the kingdom of God, but it is not now the kingdom. Saints to rule. Now read the description of Christ's actual receiving authority to rule the kingdom. He is the nobleman who went to heaven to receive this kingship and to return. We have already seen how the prophet Daniel recorded the setting up of the kingdom of God at Christ's coming to consume all present national governments on earth and set up the world-ruling kingdom of God. This was recorded in the second chapter. Notice now chapter 7. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, Christ, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 13. Jesus continually referred to himself as the Son of Man, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ ascended to heaven in clouds, Acts 1:9. He ascended to the very throne of God in heaven, Mark 16:19. Now continue. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:14. That is plain. Christ ascended to the throne of God in heaven. God is sovereign over the entire universe. This vision shows God Almighty, Father of the resurrected living Christ, conferring on Christ dominion. Dominion means sovereign or supreme ruling authority. Also given to him was a kingdom. Where is that kingdom to be? It says a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. The people and the nations speaking different languages are here on earth. He has given dominion over all nations, the whole world. Important word, until. Now will you read in your own Bible, Acts 3:21. It says the heavens have received Jesus Christ until, not permanently, just until a certain time. Until when? Until the times of restitution of all things. Restitution means restoration to a former state or condition. It is speaking of restoring God's laws, God's government, of restoring happiness and universal peace. In this 7th chapter of Daniel, the prophet had experienced a dream and visions. He had seen 4 wild animals. Notice verse 16. The interpretation begins verse 17. This is God's inspired interpretation, not mine. These great beasts, which are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7, verses 17 and 18. Notice it. Not only is Christ to rule, but the saints, that is, converted true Christians, those begotten as sons of God are to take and possess the kingdom. They are to rule under and with Christ. In the New Testament, it is recorded that converted saints are co-heirs with Christ. In the seventh chapter, Daniel explained another power. The fourth beast of this dream, the fourth empire, the Roman Empire, was pictured as an animal having 10 horns, explained here and in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, as 10 revivals or resurrections of the Roman Empire after its original fall in AD 476. But among them, after AD 476, arose another little horn, a religious kingdom, actually ruling over the last 7 of the other horns or revived Roman kingdoms, verse 20. Now read about this little horn, the religious kingdom, verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The saints, then no longer human flesh and blood, but immortal, are to possess the kingdom at the second coming of Christ. Jesus Christ makes that plain. It is Christ who is speaking in Revelation 3:21 and Revelation 2:26 and 27. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The Father's throne is in heaven, where Jesus Christ is now. But Christ's throne, in which the saints shall sit with him, is the throne of David in Jerusalem, Luke 1:32. Further, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. We can't know the time. After his resurrection on the Mount of Olives at the very hour of his ascension to heaven, Jesus was explaining to his disciples how they would receive the inspiring God-begetting power of the Holy Spirit on the approaching day of Pentecost. His disciples wanted to know whether the kingdom of God was to be set up at that time. The church was established on that imminent day of Pentecost. Was that church then to be the setting up of the kingdom? Lord, they asked, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus again made plain that the church is not the kingdom. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, or Spirit, is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1, verses 7 through 9. The commission he had given the church was to preach his gospel to all the world. They were to receive the Holy Spirit, begetting them as saints, as Christians, putting them into God's church. This would infuse them with the power to carry out the mission of the church. But it was not the setting up of the kingdom of God. Of that they were not to know the time. Just what did Jesus mean? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. He explained it another time. It is recorded in Matthew 24:36. There he was speaking of the end of this world and his second coming. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He was speaking of his second coming and the setting up of the kingdom, the time of which no man knows, but only the Father. However, though we do not even now know the day or the hour, we do know from God's prophecies that it is today very near. Notice this in Luke 21, verses 25 through 32. He had been foretelling the world events right now beginning, leading to distress of nations in world troubles and world wars, with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, world trouble such as never before experienced. When you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. So all signs show we are in the very last generation of this present evil world. The two fateful alternatives. This world trouble began in 1914 with World War I. There was a recess from 1918 until 1939. We are in a second recess now. But now at last we have nuclear energy. We have hydrogen bombs stockpiled in such power and volume that they could blast all human life off this planet several times over. There are other destructive weapons today in existence, any of which could erase humanity from the earth. Today, world-famous scientists say only a super-world government can prevent world cosmicide. Yet men cannot and will not get together to form such a world-ruling government. It's time we face the hard, cold, realistic fact. Humanity has two alternatives. Either there is an almighty, all-powerful God who is about to step in and set up the kingdom of God to rule all nations with supernatural and supranational force to bring us peace, or else all human life will be obliterated. Matthew 24:22. But the recent recess will soon erupt into nuclear World War III, called in biblical prophecy the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:21-22. But God will cut short that final supreme world trouble and send Christ again to earth as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to restore God's government by the world-ruling kingdom of God.
And with that, we complete the reading of the book by Herbert W. Armstrong, The Incredible Human Potential. Your reader has been Garland Snuffer.